It's time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome into the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. We're going to have a good show planned for you today. We got, I use the term dumpster fire a lot, and I shouldn't. I use the term hot dog water a lot. But a program that is a respected program is now in the toilet. And we'll talk about how they got there. And even more bad news for said program in just a moment. We'll get to that. We'll also look at some bowl projections. I love the bowl projections at this point of the season. They go on the bookcase of accountability, which is to my right. There are some of you that call the program that I write stuff down that you say, and I add it to the bookcase of accountability because some of it is just really stupid. And I'm like, there's absolutely no way this could happen. But by the way, if you go to the bookcase of accountability, there's plenty of my stuff that's over there that makes me look like I'm a complete buffoon. That's one of the things about, like, I learned about having your own radio show. It's great. It's what I wanted to do when I was a kid. But you have an audio record of every time that you screw up, especially when you podcast the show, which, by the way, podcast is up every day at 5 o'clock. You can go back and document every dumb thing I've ever said if you're one of those kind of folks, or you can find some of the smart things I said. And, you know, like those two. Those aren't as much fun, though. But the bookcase of accountability is to my right. And we're going to have these bowl projections up there. And we'll go over some of them in a moment. Some of these games, you look at them and you're like, maybe I'd like to see that. And then others, you look at them and you're like, man, I'd rather eat fruitcake. There's your holiday reference, your first of the season, by the way, because the holidays are coming. We'll also look at some of the big games this week as we preview some of the bigger matchups from around the country. We'll go around the ACC, the SEC, and the top 25. If you are in, if you're a fan of a team that's not in the top 25 and get upset that I preview the ACC and the SEC, I'm sorry. If your team gets in the top 25, we'll care about them. But if you're like, I don't know, Rutgers, it's kind of hard for me to get into that. Anyway, just saying. Some comments from some folks. GMD Madness already in the chat saying UConn is the only team eliminated from bowl games in the FBS currently. Yeah, UConn is a toilet bowl program right now. They are not very good. I think the best stat from that was their coach was like, you know what, I'm going to retire at the end of the season, and then came back an hour later and I'm just going to quit. That's when you know your program is just crummy. And I feel bad for the young men that are up there, and I hope that they are, you know, some of them are able to you know, get another spot if they are capable of playing football somewhere else. But Connecticut is just terrible on the football front. There are certain schools that shouldn't have football programs. I know that football draws money and everything else, but there are some schools that, you know, they just shouldn't have them. I mean, let's be honest. Is there really a great history at Vanderbilt with football? Is there really a great history at Duke with football? No. If those programs decided, hey, we're gonna focus on basketball, I don't think anybody would really care. I mean, seriously, stop and think about it for a minute. We have this whole thing now in society where we're trying to contract and make things simpler. Wouldn't it be better if you looked at certain teams that are in different conferences? I mean, you could have one or two in every conference that you look at them and you're like, there is no way that they are ever going to be a viable football program. It's just the way that it is. Just a thought. So those are some of the crazy thoughts I have about college football. But I could look at it from a perspective of several teams could be, if they didn't play anymore, no, not sure too many people would care. I really wouldn't. There are going to be people from Kentucky that are going to be like, well, up until 5 years ago, you could have eliminated our program and we haven't done anything. Yeah. Yeah. there's that. 803-978-1832 if you want to talk about contraction. What teams can we get rid of? That's kind of funny. Let's do the bookcase of accountability with bowl projections for week six. These are from CBS Sports, and some of them are really interesting. The Cure Bowl, App State and Liberty, sign me up for that. Those are two good G5 teams. Have at it. I can watch that. Hugh Freeze is eventually going to go somewhere else. Maybe it's LSU. Hint, hint for what we're going to talk about later on. Other bowl games that are interesting. Let's see here as we roll down through the list. They've got Mizzou going to the Quick Lane Bowl against Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois might beat Mizzou. I'm just saying that might happen. That's a mark the SEC doesn't want. You lost to a directional school from Illinois. My friends from the Mizzodcast, they would be livid. We'll have them on the program when South Carolina plays Mizzou here in a couple of weeks. Whenever that matchup is, it's sometime in November. Other bowl games that they are projecting from CBS Sports, which I thought were interesting, Coastal Carolina and Florida Atlantic in the Myrtle Beach Bowl. That's kind of selling Coastal Carolina short. Wouldn't you like to see Coastal Carolina play a mid-level ACC or SEC team just to see how good they are? Could be interesting. Sell them a little bit short there in the Myrtle Beach Bowl against FAU. But I think they're going to have them in the Myrtle Beach Bowl because it's in their stadium. That way they'll sell it out. Because in reality, no one cares about the Myrtle Beach Bowl. By the way, the Myrtle Beach Bowl is in Conway. Not really Myrtle Beach. Darrell MVP says Coastal Carolina shouldn't play a bowl game at their home stadium. I don't make the rules, sir. We've got too many bowl games as there is. Just saying that that's the projection from CBS Sports. We'll see if that rolls out. In the Liberty Bowl, I could get into this one. Iowa State and Tennessee. If you go to the bookcase of accountability, you will see that I thought Iowa State was going to be in the playoff. I really thought that. I was like, man, I really like Iowa State. How'd that work out? Not so well. Not so well, as they're 3-2 right now on the season. And Tennessee, I thought, was going to be an absolute dumpster fire. And they're not completely a dumpster fire. The Vols may finish third in the East. They might finish second. We'll see how that works out. Wouldn't that be just an amazing thing there for Josh Heupel to come in and everybody, including me, railing him, saying, yeah, they should have gotten Tony Elliott from Clemson. That's on the bookcase of accountability. That happens too. Not so much. Josh Heupel showing what he's doing right now is kind of working. Kind of working. Tennille online says all of Kentucky's wins have been by seven or less except LSU and Louisiana Monroe. They had trouble with the snake. UT Chattanooga, man. UT Chattanooga, the Mocs gave them a game. That's why when you look at the spread this weekend against Georgia, and people are like, man, Kentucky's not getting any respect. Oh, please. I mean, that's just humorous. Las Vegas knows something that we don't, I guess. In the Las Vegas Bowl, they've got UCLA and Indiana. Okay, I can get into that. Also, the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, where if you ask me where the Guaranteed Rate Bowl was played, I couldn't tell you. Could not tell you. But they've got West Virginia and Wisconsin playing in it. All right. The Military Bowl, they should have a military academy in the Military Bowl, by the way, but they don't. Louisville and East Carolina. What a mess. In the First Responder Bowl, Nevada and SMU. SMU at 6-0. That might be a little bit, I think they can get into that. Here's your Birmingham Bowl matchup featuring an SEC team, Western Michigan and Mississippi State in the Birmingham Bowl. How do you get your kids jacked up for that? Hey, we're going to go during the holiday season. Yeah, you're probably not going to get to go home to your family just so you can go and play in the Birmingham Bowl. They talk about college coaches having to be like this over-the-top and the ability to sell everything. Convincing young man to go and play in the Birmingham Bowl, that is a challenge. I don't know what I could possibly say that would make you think, all right, we're playing in the Birmingham Bowl. That means you've had probably a 7-5, 6-6 season. And what do you get? You get to go to Birmingham for the holidays. Shout out to everyone in Birmingham. Not knocking Birmingham in general. I'm just saying I wouldn't want to be there for the holidays. As we roll along, some of the other bowls here. The Holiday Bowl, NC State and Oregon State. The Wolfpack versus the Beavers. Okay. I might watch some of that. The Alamo Bowl, Oklahoma State and Arizona State. Sign me up for that. Got the mullet going against ASU. Yeah, I'll watch some of that. The Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl has Virginia Tech playing Auburn. All right, we could probably get into that too. By the way, Clemson fans, if you think that it's far-fetched that you may not end up in the Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl, lose a couple more games. That's probably where you're going. That's as real as we can get. Falling from the college football playoff to the Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl. Yep. The Pinstripe Bowl, Boston College and Rutgers. The interesting part about that is that Boston College could be playing at Yankee Stadium. Another team from Boston playing in their stadium and the Yankees can't. That's, no, a baseball reference there. The Pinstripe Bowl, Rutgers and Boston College. All right, I might watch some of that. Pittsburgh and Florida in the Gator Bowl. Yeah. That might be an interesting matchup. Virginia and Stanford in the Sun Bowl. North Carolina and UCF in the Fenway Bowl. I guess that's going to be played at Fenway Park. Who wants to go to Boston in the middle of the winter and play in a bowl game? Congratulations, North Carolina and UCF. That might be you. Poor Gus Malzahn. He's got a cool job, but yeah, he's freezing to death. Let's see here. Some other matchups. We already went through some of those. Let's look at the Outback Bowl, Nebraska and Arkansas. Yeah, I figured some people would get into an argument over mayonnaise in the chat room. Michigan State and Kentucky in the Citrus Bowl. That might be interesting. Two teams that want to play some defense. Might be a pretty good bowl game to watch. Ole Miss and Minnesota in the Music City Bowl. You can go to Nashville for the holidays, hang out a little bit there. That wouldn't be too bad. The Texas Bowl. All right, now this matchup I agree with. Baylor and Texas A&M. If you're going to have the Texas Bowl, you might as well have two Texas teams. Why not? San Diego State and Buffalo in the Arizona Bowl. I will not watch that. Clemson fans, they project you to go to the Cheez-It Bowl. To play Kansas State. Now, I know there's a lot of season left, but Kansas State is defensive coordinator Brent Venables' alma mater. And I'm going to tell you now, if they end up playing Kansas State, that will be the storyline. Brent Venables goes up against his alma mater. That's all you'll hear from the four-letter network. So there's that. Baylor Ann says he would attend that game because it's within driving distance. Okay. In the Peach Bowl, they've got Ohio State and Wake Forest. Now, Ohio State, they've had some issues with their defense, but they've got defensive players. I mean, on paper, that would be a game that they would probably roll right through. But if you don't see that Wake Forest offense, it's something that's completely different. And I'm not saying Wake Forest would win, but I'm saying they'd probably take them to cover the spread. Just saying. I don't know if they can match up with Chris Olave and all of that, but it still might be an interesting matchup. I still think Ohio State would take home the win. It might be fun to watch. In the Fiesta Bowl, you've got Notre Dame and Michigan. Okay. That's their projection for that. Sure, why not? In the Rose Bowl, Penn State and Oregon. Never been a Rose Bowl guy. All right, let's have the Big Ten and Pac-12 play each other. Awesome. In the Sugar Bowl, they've got Alabama and Texas. Man, another Nick Saban disciple going up against him and probably getting his face kicked in. especially if Nick Saban's got time to prepare for him. Your CFP semifinals, they've got Iowa and Oklahoma. I have no desire to see Iowa and Oklahoma play each other. I really don't. And then your other CFP semifinal, wait for it. We had this matchup last year. I wish that I weren't making this up. I don't think this is going to happen, but it is their projection. Georgia and Cincinnati. Of course, the Georgia team beat Cincinnati last year, basically with their backup offensive line and guys that had opted out and all of that. It was a close game. But, yeah, not exactly a CFP matchup that you look at and you're like, you know what? That's one that I want to watch. In fact, I think if you're not a fan of those teams, are you even going to be remotely interested in watching those games? Seriously. Number 2, Iowa. Number 3, Oklahoma. Number 1, Georgia. Number 4, Cincinnati. That's what it'll be at my house. That's pretty much what it'll be at my house. 803-978-1832. I mean, you're watching, but I expect boring in the first game and blowout in the second game. Ta-da! That's what you'll end up with if these bowl projections stay the way that they are. All right, from those, we'll take your calls at 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. If you would like to join us here on the program, those will be going to the Bookcase of Accountability. We'll see how those match up towards the end of the season. Clemson going to the Cheez-It Bowl. I got nothing for you on that. Imagine Dabo Sweeney out there with the Cheez-It logo on his sweatshirt. What a mess. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. Brandon says Clemson will make a New Year's Six bowl game if they win out. Is anybody thinking that Clemson will win out? I mean, I was looking at the FPI the other day, and let's see here. ESPN's FPI, Clemson's chance to win out is not very good. It wasn't like at 40% at the beginning of the season. Now, not so much. Let's see here if I can bring this up. Let's see here. Chanced projected wins or losses is 8.9, so they got them winning basically 9 games. Chance of winning out is 13.9%. 13.9%. Someone asked where they've got Tennessee. I mentioned that earlier. Where did I have Tennessee at? Hold on. I should have highlighted it so I could quickly look at it, but I didn't. I'll have that for you after the break, because we're on a break here in a moment. But I'll tell you where Tennessee was. I think it was the Music City Bowl. Anyway, if you want to call and talk about that, 803-978-1832. We'll also talk about some problems. One SEC program is heading to the toilet. Pretty much already there. More of the rundown when we come back. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. Back to the rundown, 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. A program that is heading towards the toilet bowl. That would be LSU. What was it, 18, 19 months ago? Wasn't that far along that we watched LSU destroy Clemson in the national championship game. They could have scored more points than they did. Joe Burrow smoking cigars in the building, not supposed to, but whatever. They won a national title. LSU fans will argue that's probably one of the better teams of all time. I don't think, they can definitely put that in the mix. I don't know if we want to go down that road today, but they were outstanding. Now, since that game, they are 8-8 overall. Now, I know people are going to say, Rob, you got to take into effect it was a COVID year. Okay. Other programs still continued to function. LSU still had some great talent, and they're 8-8. Another shot for them today, as they're already without Keyshawn Boutte for the rest of the season. He has a foot injury, suffered in the Kentucky game, so their best offensive playmaker is gone. One of their best running backs couldn't do what he academically needed to do to be on the field. He is not going to be around. That's already there, too. They don't have Derek Stingley, as he underwent a procedure on his left foot as one of their top cornerbacks. And now Eli Ricks, the other top cornerback for LSU, is out for the season. Ed Orgeron said on Monday, as far as he knew, the sophomore was going to play this weekend. But he, on the press, the SEC teleconference today, says, oh, no, he's pretty much done for the year. He's projected to be a an early-round selection in the 2023 NFL draft. So Ricks and his family, according to Orgeron, made the decision to undergo season-ending surgery, even though he's been playing with it, his injury. It's a mess with what's going on with LSU right now. And you got to look at some of the things that happened that you can't really pin. There's so many things that happened at once. First of all, the exodus of all the talent that they've had. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Is it Clyde Edwards? Yeah, Edwards-Helaire. I don't know why I'm thinking Clyde. But Edwards-Helaire, the great running back that they had. They had pretty much an all-SEC offensive line. I mean, they were really, really great. And they've lost a ton of that stuff, a ton of those guys to the NFL. The injury bug has bitten them as well. They've lost guys due to COVID. Had an offensive lineman transfer to Kentucky, where one publication says that the Wildcats have probably one of the top three offensive lines in the SEC. I don't know if I want to buy that or not, but they do have some players that can do their thing. But some of the things that have hindered them. Miles Brennan was supposed to be the next guy at quarterback, but played three games and had a season-ending hip injury. That kind of threw him out of the mix. That was one of the things that ended up shooting LSU in the foot. Losing Keyshawn Boutte, that guy is going to be on an NFL roster somewhere. He is outstanding. Losing Stingley, that we talked about earlier, that's another player that is going to be drafted probably in the first couple of rounds. Then you have, they lose Dave Arenado, and they get Bo Pelini, and Bo Pelini doesn't know what he's doing. And Ed Orgeron didn't even interview the defensive assistants. He's just like, yeah, I hired Pelini. Yeah, all right. And then he told everybody about it. LSU is at the point right now where they have to look at it from this perspective. The idea of rebuilding under Ed Orgeron is gone. I think that's it. It's over. You're at the point now where you got to throw some bleach on the program and start new. And then hope next that next season that you go 8-4, 9-3 with whatever new coaches you've got, and then you can build from there. But they've had so many things that have hindered them, including, I know he was the passing game coordinator, but losing Joe Brady has really hurt that program. You can make an argument that they're putting up good numbers on offense, and they are, but they're not running the football. That's not happening. So there's some of the problems with LSU. And do you think that they should fire Ed Orgeron now or let him coach the rest of the season? In my opinion, if you know you're done, I mean, you're going to have to pay him the buyout anyway, right? You could send a message to the fan base that we don't like the way things are going and let everybody know, hey, this job is open. Might be the way to go. 803-978-1832. Baylor Man's online says, thanks for Arenado, corn dogs. Big Barney says, LSU's whole program is going down like a one-egg pudding. I don't get that reference, but okay. That's fine. Jerome says, if the game goes bad on Saturday, you can go down and get some fried food at the fair. I hope that people show up for this game for South Carolina. I really do. It's Vanderbilt, I know. But we will we'll have to see how that works out for them. South Carolina's favored by 20 points. At least go for the first half, I would think. You know? And then you can go out and go to the fair, I guess. But we'll see how that matchup works. And we're going to look at some of the SEC games this week and the top 25 when we come back. But South Carolina, you know, haven't had a conference win in over a year. It's a fine time for Vandy to come to town. Now, Coach Shane Beamer says Vanderbilt's looked better every game. He mentioned how they ran the football pretty well against Stanford. How if you watch the Florida game, they had like first and goal on the one. They weren't able to convert. They had some opportunities. Now, does South Carolina, can they just roll the football out there and expect to win? I don't think any Gamecock fan truly believes that. I mean, they're going to have to actually go out there, lace them up, and go. So we'll see how that matchup goes. And he's right. You can go to the fair and get you some fried food if the game sucks. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. That is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on The Rundown. Do you think LSU should go ahead and drop the hammer on Ed Orgeron? I think that's the only job in the conference that's going to have a different coach at SEC Media Days next season. We'll see. Should they do it now or wait? 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. Is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on The Rundown this afternoon on Fox Sports Radio 1400. If you want to look at the head-to-the Clemson matchup with Syracuse, the Tigers, you know, their offense has been bad. And Syracuse has had some games where they look pretty competitive. Could Clemson go up there and be shocked again on a Friday night? It's happened before. On a Clemson team with a lot less talent. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. Go Bucks says they should wait until his birthday. Jerome says, if LSU loses Saturday, then Coach O is gone. Yeah. Allen says his girlfriend cut him off. I don't know if that's true or false or not. Allen, I don't know. Katusa says Tennessee just scored again on South Carolina. Thank you for that, sir. Thank you for that. All right, we'll take your calls when we come back. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. That is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on The Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining me today. We've got a lot of things we've had put out there. Will we have a new coach at LSU sooner rather than later? Hugh Freeze might be the guy to go. Found Jesus at Liberty. Maybe he can get back to doing what he was doing in the SEC beforehand without the calls that are there. John Gruden's still a hot topic with some of the folks online. You know, a caller yesterday talked about, yeah, he's probably not going to coach anywhere again. Yeah, and you know, I think you're right. I mentioned that people love the feel-good comeback story, but he's going to have to do a lot of, I don't know what the term is, a lot of apologizing and everything else before he has an opportunity to go somewhere else. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. That's the number to call if you'd like to join us here on The Rundown. Here on Fox Sports Radio 1400, of course, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Let's look ahead to some of the SEC games this weekend. Texas A&M is at Mizzou. The big thing with that is you were on such a high against Alabama. Now you've got Mizzou. You've gone from playing, you know, one of the elite teams in college football and getting, let's just be honest, a program probably defining win for Jimbo Fisher. Because, you know, when you win against Alabama, that's a big deal. Now, going into the offseason, if they finish 10-2, they're going to the offseason. It's like, you know what? It was a 10-2, 9-3 season. But you know what? We beat Alabama. That's great. Okay? This weekend, though, you play Mizzou. How well is Zach Calzada's knee? Of course, you know, he was able to go out there on adrenaline and everything else and finish that game. Will they be able to do enough to beat Mizzou? I'm not saying they're not a more talented team. I'm just saying when you have such an emotional up and then you have an emotional down, may come back and bite them. We'll see. Auburn and Arkansas. Auburn got throat punched last week by Georgia. Georgia's throat punching a lot of people right now, but they got throat punched last week by Georgia at home. Arkansas, they haven't been playing very well recently either, to be honest. Their defense the past couple of games, where they give up 52 to Ole Miss, and Georgia did whatever they wanted to do with them as well. So I think the big thing with this game is Bo Nix against that Arkansas defense that, let's be honest, is not playing very well right now. Florida and LSU, this is normally like one of the great rivalries in the conference. You know, you kind of look forward to that every year because they do play each other every single year. And generally, it's a matchup of two really, you know, above-average teams. Is LSU even going to bother to show up? Eli Ricks is out, no Kishon Boutte. No Stingley. I mean, they're playing wounded right now. They were 3.5-point favorites to start. That line's jumped up to 10 points. Ed Orgeron's probably looking for a moving service and a realtor right now. Would not surprise me in the least. Will LSU show up? Now, I thought the same thing last year when they went down to the swamp and Florida lost that game and Dan Mullen was Dan Mullen acting like a complete idiot. Remember that with the whole shoegate game? Player throws the shoe down the field. Yeah. Not so much. The feature matchup of the weekend is Kentucky and Georgia. You know, you kind of, if you're an old school guy, you kind of like Kentucky as far as the way that they play. They're going to run the ball and they're going to try to play good defense. If you're into that old school type of stuff, that's great. The reality, though, is that this is 2021, and Georgia is going to put the meat hook to them in Athens. I think that's just a blowout city. I'd be shocked if Kentucky covered that game. Just the way that matchup looks, not very good there for the Wildcats. Let's go out to the phones really quick here. Welcome to the Rundown. Good afternoon.
Not very good.
Good morning. Good afternoon. How you doing?
What's going on there, friend?
Get off Florida. I want you to get off Florida. Always got something.
No. I said.
You going last year. Last year's over with.
Sir, I said. You probably didn't hear the entire call there, sir.
Oh, I heard you.
What I said was, is I don't expect LSU to show up. Florida should roll them.
I mean, you still got to line up and play football. Right. Never and know I, how these things don't work out.
Look, let me ask you something. Do I have to tell you every day that you're great? Is that where Florida's at right now? Are you like the insecure?
Oh, they're always great to me.
Are they the insecure ex-girlfriend that, you know, you had to tell her every day, man, you are just so beautiful? Is that where we're at with Florida now?
They are. They are so great to me. Ugh. They are.
Well.
And we're going to prove it to you on Halloween. Trick or treat, baby. Give them some candy to eat. We're going to trick that treat.
Well, we'll see how that matchup goes, but let's get through this LSU matchup because this looks like and feels sort of like the matchup from last season. That's why I brought it up. No one gave LSU a chance down in the swamp. Now you got to go to LSU.
I made those stupid mistakes, throwing shoes, all kind of crazy penalties. We're not going to do that this week. We're going up there and take care of business and going to take a week off, and then we're going to roll the Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, I'm not as
all
confident.
The Georgia fans I talked to said, man, you know what? I'm scared of that game. Because that game, it's no matter what your record is, but that game, hey, anything goes.
Well, I'm not as confident as you are about the matchup with Georgia, but I do think you beat LSU.
I don't know what you see in Georgia. I just don't know.
How about a top rated defense that's pretty much done whatever they wanted to do all season, giving up only two offensive touchdowns? How's that?
Oh, they ain't playing nobody.
Really?
Auburn, nobody.
Really?
Clemson, nobody.
Get out of here, man.
I'm just being real.
No, you're not being real. Clemson is a good team. Auburn's a pretty good team.
Was a good team. Was.
Was. Okay.
Was. Remember that. They was. They are below average.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that works. I hope that Clemson gets you in a bowl game because that would be interesting.
We don't play part one in football. We don't play part one.
Well, that's okay. Fair enough, man. I appreciate you calling the program. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
All right, Hollywood joining the program. Let's go back out to the phones. Welcome into the program. Good afternoon.
Well, Hollywood is special, isn't he?
I everything you said there, I mean, normally I have plenty of things that I can volley back and forth with, but there was just so much silliness tied up into one phone call, I honestly didn't know which way to go.
Yeah, and I'm allergic to silliness, as you know, Rob. When you were throwing out accolades for Georgia there, you left out possible Heisman Trophy candidate Stetson Bennett, which I tried to tell you from day one.
The bookcase of accountability has your comments about Stetson Bennett. Do not make me retrieve them, sir. That will not work out well for you.
Hey, we can both go to that bookcase of accountability and find some dirt on
each other. But the stuff about Stetson Bennett, you are in over your head, sir. You need to calm down with that.
Yeah, let me make a slick transition here. I may, I don't live very far from Jacksonville at all, and I may put on my bulletproof vest and just meet Hollywood over there in the parking lot somewhere. Just to put a face to this kind of absolute silliness, you know?
Hollywood is a good guy. He'll probably have a heck of a tailgate there, and you guys can have a bourbon drink, and then he may not talk to you after the game, though.
Yeah, I want to make some kind of a bet with him, and I may just have to show up over. I'm only about 40 minutes from Jacksonville, so I generally try to stay out of Duval County just for my health, you know. But I may have to break the rule and just go meet Hollywood just to put a face to all this nonsense.
Well, we'll see how that works out. But everything he was saying, I was like, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then.
I think LSU is going to find a way to beat Florida. Mark my words. Put that on the bookcase of accountability. How's that?
Hopefully you'll call back on Monday and we can laugh at you for your LSU pick, because I don't think that's happening.
And if they do beat Florida, you will need that Reading Rainbow bouncing ball to understand Ed Orgeron. You can believe that.
I won't need it at all, because they'll probably tell him, take off your shirt at midfield, we'll mail you your stuff, go to your car, and get out of here. That's the way that's going to work. So,
well, you may be correct, but I think LSU rallies the troops and beats the idiot called Dan Mullen. 43-18, Rob.
Have a great day, sir. All right, well, if you want to respond to those calls, 803-978-1832. I don't agree with both calls. There was things said in both calls that made me go, huh. Hollywood is dead set that Florida's going to roll LSU and Georgia. Okay. And Megan there says that he thinks that LSU is going to beat Dan Mullen. I will eat my humble pie if that happens. Just don't see it. More of the Rundown when we come back. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832. Couple of callers on the line. We will go first here. Welcome into the program. Good afternoon.
I just wanted to say that Florida fan might be the dumbest basketball fan I've ever heard in my entire life.
He's a fan.
he is definitely a fan. You know, fan short of a fanatic. He is definitely a Florida fanatic. But I just wanted to comment on a couple of things he was saying.
Sure.
You know, about, he said Georgia hasn't played anybody. His first was true. But let's say it is true, right? Even if Georgia has played the worst team in the nation, you can still look at them and say, that's a good team. You don't have to play amazing teams to be able to tell somebody is a good team or not.
Yeah, but what he said, I mean, that doesn't really make any sense. Clemson is a good team.
How many ranked teams?
Arkansas is good.
Played?
Auburn is good.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not like it's not like they're playing a directional school from Nebraska every week.
Right.
So there's that.
No, I mean, I just thought it was a weird.
Yeah. All right, your cell phone's kind of spotty on me, man. Call me back later on because you're all over the place. But thank you for calling the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, man. I enjoy the show, so.
Thank you, buddy. All right, one more call. Welcome to the Rundown. Good afternoon.
Hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Florida game. And I'm not in Florida versus LSU, and I'm not even a fan of either team.
Sure.
But someone had mentioned that Emory Jones does not play as well when he isn't the only quarterback playing. He's constantly having to look over his shoulder. Is he going to be pulled out of the game? So I pulled up the statistics of it, and it does appear that he does play better. I do think, at this point, I think Mullen should pick a quarterback and stick with him. And I'm not opposed to Anthony Richards or Emory Jones, but I just think that he's making it more difficult on him. And my opinion is if he goes into LSU and plays two quarterbacks, I think they are going to lose. Florida hasn't really played well on the road. They kind of struggled a little bit in the beginning with those two Florida teams that they played. Now, they played decent in the swamp.
Right.
But, again, that was at home. And then I don't even count Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt's just
– Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what it boils down to, yeah. I mean, I can get into that, but this is something that, you know, we talk about in the off season. There's a reason that Florida doesn't schedule games outside – Power 5 games outside of the state of Florida. I mean, it's been like, I think 21 years or something like that since they played a regular season non-conference game outside of the state of Florida. So they play so well at the Swamp, but I don't really think that Florida's just really that good. I really don't.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works out, though.
LSU upsetting them this weekend. That's just my thoughts.
Well, that's one of those things where looking at last season, it was like, man, that's probably – going into that game, I mean, I picked Florida to beat them senseless, and it was foggy in the swamp, and things happen. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. All right, man. Have a good day.
Appreciate it. You know, you can make that argument, too, that some guys play better when they know if they don't, the hook's coming. I mean, Steve Spurrier was great at that, by the way. He just didn't care. If you went in and you were the quarterback and you weren't flowing very well, he'd pull you in a second. It's kind of what made him good. The reality, though, is that Dan Mullen is not Steve Spurrier. I mean, he's developed quarterbacks, don't get me wrong, but I used to think Dan Mullen was a guy that was really an above-average coach. But then, the way that he handled that LSU game last year, where they asked him the question about the whole thing with the kid throwing the shoe, and the way that he handled that is just ridiculous. You know, you're supposed to be, if you are a college football coach, you have to be a lot of things. Being a statesman is one of them. I get that. But on the other hand, you also have to face the music. And when your team loses, go in there and take the questions and answer them to the best of your ability. He obviously doesn't really know how to do that very well with the way that he handled that press conference. And then this season with Kentucky. Oh, well, we had 380 yards compared to their 210. No one cares. The scoreboard does not care that you had 170 more yards total than they did. No one cares. But you put that out there, and you are the head statesman there for the Florida program. And what does that make you look like? Oh, we're just trying to compete and get more yards? And I understand it's an emotional thing. You just came off the field, and it's an emotional roller coaster. And, you know, sometimes you say things that may be a little heated, and I get that. But he is a multiple-time offender. Seriously. Now, on the other hand, they could go down there, and they could mop the floor with them and then play well against Georgia. I don't think they're beating them. But they could do that. It's one of the weirdest programs to try to keep a hold of is that Florida program. Jerome says mullet versus counselor. Oh man. That's going to be an interesting matchup this weekend, but The other SEC matchup I'm looking forward to is Ole Miss and Tennessee. Whatever the over and under is, I've said take the over. I mean, you could have another 52-51 game again. It could happen. We'll see how that works out, but I wonder if there's a piece of Lane Kiffin, because Lane Kiffin's a very interesting individual. If he has an opportunity to run it up on Tennessee after what happened with him there, I think he'll do it. If he has just a chance to get a little gouge there, I think he'll do it. All right, one more call really quickly here. All right, you got 20 seconds. You're on the rundown. Go.
Yeah, I've got one question for you, and I got off here and listened to you respond to it. Now, why is people giving Florida more of a chance to beat Georgia than Kentucky? 24 points, that's a whale. And I listen to what you have to say to that.
Appreciate it, man. All right. Well, I think the reason behind that is because it's just a horrible matchup for Kentucky. What they do and what they want to try to do is trying to outdo what Georgia does really well. I think that's why. So there you go with that. More of the rundown tomorrow. Podcast is up at 5 o'clock. Lawton Swann is next.
Stop looking at me, Swann.
With Clemson Sports Talk. I'm Rob Sanders. We'll see you tomorrow.